go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Jim Carafano is having a wonderful tour d'horizon for us. I say wonderful. It's pretty grim in most respects, actually, because based on the analysis that his team at the Heritage Foundation has undertaken, there's a lot for the next president to do to remedy real and growing dangers to this country, both internationally and here at home. And Jim, I just wanted to come back to something that you touched on a short while ago. You mentioned that the Russians have been violating massively their arms control commitments. I'm interested in what's going on more broadly with respect to their nuclear weapons programs, and for that matter, those of the Chinese, and how they compare with what we're doing to maintain a credible, safe, and reliable nuclear deterrent.
Yeah, so this is one where I actually should be interviewing you because you're probably much more the expert on this than I am. But look, this is something that, you know, we talked about. I remember many years ago when the new START treaty came up, and I think one of the first things that you raised is, look, this isn't constraining anybody, because under this treaty, the United States numbers go down, but the Russians can actually build up. And of course, they've been building up and they've been modernizing. So what we've been doing is basically like the marathon in a race, stopping and let the other guy catch up. So we've closed the gap with the Russians. Lots of debate about what the Chinese are actually up to with their building up their strategic force. A lot of areas where they could be extremely opaque in the size of that force. I mean, huge disparity in the notion of what they're doing and what numbers they're going to do. And where that really creates a problem for the United States is, you know, we've never moved into a 21st century nuclear strategy, except for Obama's, is let's just not have any, right? So the administration's basically let the whole thing atrophy and not had a realistic strategy. And the realistic strategy for the 21st century, which my good colleague Baker Spring had talked about for years, is this idea of protect and defend. The old idea was that you make a nuclear war unwinnable because everybody would die. And the new paradigm is you make a nuclear war unfightable because people realize that there's no way that they can win. And you do that by demonstrating the ability to both protect yourself against the enemy's nuclear weapons, and that requires robust military defenses, not just from things like blowing up cities, but real threats like EMP, where if you detonate the nuclear weapon in space, you create the electromagnetic pulse, you destroy all the electronic infrastructure, and everybody dies anyway. But then you also demonstrate the ability to defend by holding the other guy at risk. And that's the problem with the Obama administration. They're targeting is we have to hold, just practically speaking, right now, North Korea at risk, Iran at risk, Russia at risk, and China at risk. And we have to do it all at the same time. And that's the problem, is it looks like we have a lot of weapons, but when you put weapons against and platforms against all those targets, all of a sudden there are gaps. And that's not what you want. You want everybody to believe that nobody could start something and anybody could get away with anything. So if you did that, had a responsible force that's modernized, that's dependable, right? That's actually using 21st century technology for your nuclear weapons as opposed to early 20th century technology, and you have missile defenses, then you haven't solved the world's problems. You haven't broken peace out all over. What you have done is provided the really most powerful insurance policy possible against a nuclear war or against somebody trying to steal the day and fire an EMP weapon at you and take you all out in one shot.
There's so much. I don't even know where to start with this, Jim, but you've raised so many important points. The atrophying of our forces is really worrying. And the degree to which we are essentially relying upon obsolescing technology from a very different era with a very different sort of counterforce strategy to work against all of these comers, as you say, at a time when they are pursuing, in various degrees, but all of them rather assiduously, means of concealing their forces from us, making them more resistant against us, and otherwise, you know, denying us the kind of protect and defend capability that you're talking about. It's I kind of think of this as the dirtiest little secret in the defense business, because I can't believe that the vast majority of Americans, were they to know what you know, what we've just talked about, would want us to be in this posture, and yet here we are and are likely to be here for some time to come, no matter what the next president wants to do.
Right, and have gone through how many presidential debates on with both political parties, and the entire issue came up maybe once. And then we found out as you know, we're not even sure all the candidates know what we have and what it's used for. I mean, I think that's a stunning indictment.
Jim, let me switch gears. We've gotten all the way through three quarters of this interview without having really addressed the other very important threat of our time, with which I know you're seized and have spent a lot of time personally as well as professionally addressing. What I think of as the global jihad, it is unquestionably on the march at the moment. As you said earlier, this is one of those quantifiable metrics against which you can say we're worse off than we were 8 years ago now. Give us a flavor of your thinking that you're doing at Heritage about the nature of this problem and how best to array ourselves to defend against it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it is a two-part problem. It really is, I think, a global Islamist insurgency. So part of it is the insurgent, the terror, the armed threat, right, which is very, very real, which has two components: the offense over there, and then here at home. I think the counterterrorism strategy that the president put out in 2010, he's fully implemented, and it's, as we predicted, it's a disaster. And we need a strategy that's actually designed to diminish the capacity and influence of groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. We talk about that. Very important report recently came out by AEI that looked at that, something you've talked about. You know, at home, I think we just need to do our job. I think one of the interesting things we're finding out as we impact San Bernardino and these other things happen is literally we are not doing our job. I mean, literally the president has taken us back to a pre-9/11 era where we don't talk about it. We treat it like a law enforcement thing. We don't share intelligence. We have to be politically correct. You know, we've warped back to the Clinton era, and I think that's a bit, so people talk about we need to ban Muslims or whatever. You know, we just need to do our job. If we just enforce the laws, whether it's border security or immigration or how we process visas the way we're supposed to, and we investigated people the way we're supposed to, we would diminish 99% of that threat. And the other piece of that, which you've written a lot about, and you guys have done, I think, stellar work on this, is there's a political dimension to this, right? So even if not somebody doesn't have a weapon in their hand, there's an armed struggle, there's a political warfare dimension to this, a political Islam, both overseas and at home, and you have to have a strategy for that. And you know, at home, people are using religious liberty against us. They're using religious liberty to take away our religious liberty. They're using a political warfare to take away our right of free speech, free debate, you know, to really battle these ideas in the open. And we see that in key areas around the world as well. So I think you need a political strategy, which we've actually written on our website about how do you deal with the political Islam and counter that with a campaign that's battling the ideas. It's more than a war of ideas, all right, because it's not just about people arguing about ideas. It's about people trying to suppress ideas, people are trying to discredit ideas, and people that are trying to marginalize us. And it's not just to win a debate. It's to pave the way for armed conquest, right? So so we have to be able to fight both those wars. And quite literally, the president on all three fronts, whether it's homeland security, fighting the war overseas, or this war against this idea of political Islam, which is antithetical to everything Americans believe in, the president has been, you know, in many ways our worst, if not our worst enemy, certainly our worst ally.
Jim Carafano, this is such a rich topic. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. Stay with us for more with Dr. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.